Ask the Podcast Coach for June 7th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Yay. It's Saturday morning. It's 10:30 Eastern Time at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting. This is where we take your podcast questions live at 845-262-2401. All questions are encouraged and appreciated. And joining me every week is the one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Dave. You can also call me Generous.
Yes, we can call you Generous.
Watching the video to get that one.
Yeah, he's got a...
And congratulations on getting the YouTube video going on the first take. Nice job.
Yeah, the thing that was hilarious, of course, is then I hit the button too soon. And somebody asked me today about... the whole live thing. And I said, I actually made a video. If you're on our Patreon page, if you go out to Ask the Podcast Coach, I just put a video that shows all the technology that we use for the show. And they said, oh, this is why the beginning is always a little rough. And I'm like,
hey. It's a little tough. I actually, in the show notes, I have some live tips. So later on, maybe later on, if we don't have any callers, I can go through my live tips. Because that's all I do is live. So we can try that.
Yes, you are like that's your space, man, and you rock it.
That's just what I do. I'm not even sure I would know how to sit down. It would feel awkward to me not having an audience to do a podcast. I think I would struggle with it. I would be like, well, here's the problem with not being live. I'd say when I make a mistake or something.
It is interesting. But should we just jump into the questions? We actually got one. Somebody sent us one. Online, Bill Hutchinson apparently didn't want to wake up his kids in the middle of the night to call. I'm like, Bill, come on, what? Are you kidding me?
Like 2 a.m? You can't do it. We do it all the time.
So I really appreciate the fact that he sent it in. I was like, wow, how cool. So let me make sure that you can hear this. And here is Bill.
Hi, Dave. This is Bill Hutchinson from the Accidental Missionary Podcast, which you can find on my personal website, billhutchinson.org. This question is for the Ask the Podcast Coach. I do really wish that I could call in. However, living in Australia makes the time difference a bit awkward, as you guys are actually doing it in the middle of my night. And as much as I'd love some live feedback, I don't think my kids would really want to be around me in the morning if I got up in the middle of the night to make that phone call. So my question is about rebranding a podcast. At the moment, the podcast that I have is called The Accidental Missionary. And I chose that because of kind of how I feel I came into that role as a missionary. But what I want the podcast to do isn't what it's called now. What I really want the podcast to be is a resource for people who are looking at going into missions. So I'm wanting to look at rebranding it as the Missionary Coach Podcast. But my question, I guess, is what would you recommend as the process to go through in rebranding it? And leading my current listenership, which is very low, but still they're there and I want to respect them, leading it from that into what I want it to be. So again, the podcast is at billhutchinson.org. I really appreciate your feedback and I look forward to hearing it on a future episode.
So there you go, Bill. Thank you so much for sending that in. And I got to throw Bill an occasional apology, because for whatever reason, I want to call Bill Hutchinson, and it's not, it's Hutchison. So there's no N in there. And the good news is, well, Jim, you've actually gone through a rebranding. We actually, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it's always a good topic because there are times when you start your podcast in one direction and you decide later, you know what, maybe I should go this route. So in this case, he's going from Accidental Missionary, and he wants to change it to the Missionary Coach. So the good news is it's not too much of a stretch.
Yeah, no, he's making, but you know, those little tweaks can make a difference. And this has come up a couple times, both on your show, and you guys talked about this a little bit on the last Podcasters Roundtable as well. A little discussion around that just quickly, but It's super important that that the audience kind of relate to what you're talking about, that it makes sense, that the title shows up. I think this came up under that discussion of what you put in the iTunes for the title of the show, because that matters how people are going to search. So you really want to kind of test it with your audience a little bit. I've told you guys before on this program that when I had Home Tech, that's so easy to remember what I thought for me. No one could remember that. They get mixed up with the Average Guy stuff, and they wanted to call it the Average Guy Tech Show, and they just couldn't. Even the people who'd been on the show couldn't remember it. And so we made a departure from that and moved over to what we call now Home Gadget Geeks, and that kind of rolls off the tongue really well, and we're already seeing some nice traction from that. But changing that's not really difficult, especially if you're using WordPress. So WordPress with the PowerPress plugin, just go in and make the necessary changes you need to make and click update, and it literally does everything for you. So all the instructions are in there. I won't bore you with walking through it. It's super easy to do in PowerPress. It handles iTunes really well. Get that stuff updated and changed. It's super easy. The harder part is actually going and getting Stitcher and all your other podcasts, all the podcast 411 sites that you've applied it to. Not all of them will automatically update with your RSS feed. And so you need to go back, ensure that they're being updated as well there. And then I would set a ticker for about 30 days and go back and check them all again just to make sure they did cut over. Not all of them will update in real time. Some of them you have to send emails to. So that gets to be a little bit of a process. So is there a defined process? I think that's what Bill's looking for. I'm going to say no, because everybody subscribed their stuff differently.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one way of doing it. Certainly with iTunes and Stitcher, just go to their sites and get that done, right? PowerPress for iTunes. Go to Stitcher and get it done. They're pretty good about updating it as well over there. So
yeah, they're not from what I hear, super fast at times.
No, really slow.
Yeah,
very slow.
But they will do it. But yeah, so you would just go into now, in your case, you're using your website, so you've already somewhere said this is the name of the show, because I think some defaults will just use the name of your blog. So somewhere in PowerPress, or if you're using the Libsyn feed or whatever you're using, just go in and change the name. And then, you know, like Jim said, update your artwork. And the good news is there are a lot of places that will just pull your iTunes information. So when you update iTunes, you basically update it everywhere else. But like Jim said, you want to go check it out, make sure it still does. So it's not a super hard process. And I guess in my case, I wouldn't do anything with the feed, because it's basically the same show.
Yeah, leave the feed alone.
Yeah.
Right? That's the key. If you are changing the feed, Jeff Bundy says this in chat, if you're changing the URL, the domain, if you're buying, like you're changing that, this is the one problem is I have a network. So I have the averageguy.tv. That's the overarching network. All the RSS is under the averageguy.tv, not the show name. That actually saved me in the end. If you got to change the domain, it's a little more difficult. You're going to work hard to get that done for sure.
Yeah, because then you've got to do a redirect to iTunes. You've got to say, you know, if you're changing the feed, and you can always buy that domain name if you wanted to ask if it's even available, accidentalmissionary.com, and point that to BillHutchison.org. You could do that as well. There's all sorts of fun ways to tweak that. But is there a set thing? Number one, I would just, you know, go around to people and say, if I told you I did a show called The Missionary Coach, what do you think it would be about? And if they say, well, I don't know, you coach people about being a missionary, and which it is, then you go, dingo, that's the right name. But if you say, you know, what do you think a missionary coach is? And they go, I don't know, is it sex ed? I'm like, no, that's a whole nother missionary. So then you got to pick a different name or something like that. But it sounds like you're on the right track. And Bill's a good guy. You will hear Bill on the next School of Podcasting, because he sent in a Because of My Podcast story. So I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Jim.
Yeah, no, let me just say this. There's maybe one tip for podcasters. If you've been podcasting a while and you think you're going to be around podcasting for a while, you might want to, when you think about your RSS feeds and you think about your media storage, and we talked about this last week a little bit, you might want to think about, and don't take this literally, but you might want to create your own kind of virtual CDN concept, right? A content management site. In other words, like I use the averageguy.tv as my URL, as my directory for all my podcasts. They all do that. So it's the averageguy.tv/ and then the podcast name. One of the advantages to that, I don't think with RSS feeds, anybody reads that stuff that's in there. So it does, the name doesn't matter. That's not great branding. Now, being able to send them back to your site, you know, the accidentalmissionary.com or whatever, that stuff is important. But you can get that all through redirects. So if you think, if you're going to be doing this a while, you might want to think about a generic, and you don't have to create a network, but just create a generic name that you do your media hosting with or some things like that. And that way, if you do make a name change, you don't have to go back and change the feeds, because changing a feed is just, it can be really tedious and very difficult at times to get them all. And so that's one way, kind of create this generic, a generic network, so to speak, that never changes. And then for all your media and stuff, that might be an idea.
And actually, you just said a phrase that I want to mention, because I've had a few people this week. One was in the Google Plus, the G Plus group for Podcasters Technology, was saying, oh my gosh, my RSS feed has gone crazy. When I look at it, it's nothing but code. And unless you're in Firefox, I'm not sure what Safari does, but I know if you look at your RSS feed in Google Chrome, and I believe in Internet Explorer, it is just a bunch of code. And it is kind of weird, because we tell people to, you know, use the RSS and subscribe to it. And I always go back to the radio analogy, a radio, you know, basically an actual radio wave that you're listening to. You know, you can see it if you had the right scope, but basically it's just noise. But when you put that into a radio, the radio, you know, basically turns it into something we can enjoy, whether it's talk or music or whatever. And an RSS feed is not meant to be read. When you, it, you know, don't look at the sun, don't look at your RSS feed unless you're doing it on purpose. So this poor person was really just, oh my gosh, it's broken. And I was like, no, it's supposed to look that way. It's gobbledygook. And, so it was kind of cute when it did that. I was like, oh, I remember when I did that. I was like, ooh, what is that? Holy cow.
What is this code behind behind the curtains? Yeah, I know you don't want to try and actually read that. It does make a lot of sense if you do try and read it. We're getting kind of nerdy here on this, but you don't want to actually go try and read that stuff.
Yeah. So speaking of getting nerdy, if you'd like to get nerdy, the number, of course, is 845-262-2401. That's 845-262-2401. Open lines as we speak. You could call and be right on. And again, no question is off topic. We kind of just sit here and chit chat and wait for the phone to ring. And sometimes it does. And then sometimes it doesn't. But I'm going to call my shot. You ready for this?
Do it.
I didn't clip it. I wish I would have. I would have thrown it in the chat. There was some mule, I've never heard of it, a mule podcast, what's the thing, network. And apparently they started off, it's a bunch of ex-radio guys, started off, they hired a sales team to sell ads, and they did it right. They treated it like a business, but I don't know what their content is, okay, for the record. But at any rate, they've decided to go in, and they're going to go back to doing it just for fun, that they've basically saying this isn't working as a business. And I'm like, oh, here we go. I'm going to say somewhere in the next 6 weeks, we're going to see a flood of podcasting is crap. It doesn't work. Don't believe the hype, blah, blah, blah. Because I thought, oh, here we go. Here's somebody who's going to go, what do you mean I'm not making six figures a month? And so I just that's if I was a weather forecaster, I would say I see a clouds on the horizon that I could see, you know, oh, here we go. Here's somebody who it didn't quite meet their expectations or whatever. And I was like, well, I don't know what their show was, if it was good or if it was bad or whatever, but I just thought, oh, here we go. And then they just treated it like, which it is. I mean, if my network,
it's a tough business.
Yeah. If my network,
it's not
easy. Yeah. If my network had to close, I would feel bad, but I just remember the time thinking, wow. You know, I've heard of, what is it, 5 on 5 or something like that. And I've heard of a
5 by 5.
I've heard of them. I've heard a couple other networks. But, and I know Dumas and Flynn and the guy from Art of Charm, Jordan Harbinger, they have a network. I think it's like Encouraging or Energy, something that, the Integrity Network. So, you know, I have heard of some networks, but, you know, we're all kind of like our own little network. I've heard of the AverageGuy.tv. I've heard of that one.
Just small little network. The, you know, I think if you're not a good sales guy, you're gonna start one of these things, and you're gonna expect to make money. Because at the end of the day, it really comes down to sales. You're selling your stuff, right? And so if you've been in sales before and you haven't been successful or you don't like doing sales, podcasting may be difficult because at the end of the day, especially for an independent guy, you're selling your product to advertisers. And I think we think it's an information or a content business, and it is, right? You have to have great content. So that's you have to almost do two jobs in one. So maybe if you're great at creating content, you need to partner with a guy who's good at sales. Because one doesn't go without the other. You've got to be able to do both. If you're going to make this a successful business, find if you're great at content and you're terrible at sales, you better find a good sales guy to go out there and beat the street and you know, because they're not going to necessarily just come to you. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and create it. You got to get, you know, you've got to do the advertising stuff. You have to do the, I spent the morning, a good chunk of the morning, thinking through some if this then that recipes to drum up some interest and some communication. How can I do that when I'm sleeping so that I don't have to watch Twitter all the time? And, you know, when I get emails, how can those trigger events for me? That's all work that has to be done by somebody. You know, you have to generate some interest.
Well, and the other thing, and this is, I think, going to be a future episode on the School of Podcasting. You need to be ready to talk about your podcast at the drop of a hat. And Ken Blanchard from Black Man with a Gun was on the Purpose Rock Stars. Might it be Purpose Driven Rock Stars? It's a entrepreneur show. My mouth apparently not going to show up today.
It's Saturday morning. You get a break.
Yeah, it's an entrepreneur show. Oddly enough, daily. Have you ever heard of those? What an idea. Really nice guy, by the way. I'm actually going to be on that show as well. And they asked him about his shows. And, man, he had an elevator pitch for every single show. It was like, bam, this is the other show. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and I was like, wow, that was a really cool clip. And I thought about that. If somebody asked me right now, like, what's the school of podcasting? I'd be like, well, we talk about all things podcasting from planning to promoting. And I'm like, you know, that's not really a good elevator pitch. It doesn't really make people go, oh, I want to. It's not horrible, but I just thought, you know, I should investigate what makes a good elevator pitch. I know Michael Hyatt did a cool thing on branding at the New Media Expo, and I actually went back and downloaded all. I hadn't downloaded all the recordings from the New Media Expo. I'm like, hello, that was in January. So I'm going to go back and listen to that, but you do need to be ready.
Yeah, it's like anything. You know, sales, doing this for a living, whatever, making money off it, is separating money from other people, right? You want to separate their money from them and get it to you. And you got to have something that will do that. You know, you got to have that pitch that'll do that. You got to have that value that will do that. Either helping people make more money so they can give you a percentage of it, or they find value in doing the things that they're doing in their own business and adding value in that way. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, and John Parker says, but don't the podcasters that play up people like Dumas have to take some of the blame? I don't want to get in a blame game here. And I know we kind of poke fun at John Lee Dumas sometimes because he's the guy, but we could go back, Dave. I mean, what about weekly podcasting when that got popular, right? Everybody went weekly, come up with a weekly show. I mean, so who's the guy? Maybe we could blame Cliff for that, right? Because Cliff was one of those first guys out there doing a weekly show. So no, let's not do the blame game.
Right.
It's not about blame.
It is something that on one hand, and that's why we did the one podcasters roundtable about the Dumas effect, because there is a Dumas effect that everybody's jumping in to they want to do that. And I always say, well, who doesn't? But the problem is, and what we did on that podcasters roundtable was to say, look at what this guy does, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got this huge discipline of he does this and that. And,
yeah, he works it.
And he exactly. He works it.
Hey, are you willing to give an entire Monday to recording? I mean, so that's, I mean, a full day. He gets up first thing in the morning, does six or seven.
Yeah.
Spends all afternoon editing them, lines them up. And then, you know, we both do kind of interview shows. You got to line up interviews and, you know, schedule those times and get those people on. And I mean, think about after about, 100 of those, wouldn't you run out of people to interview?
Yeah.
You know, so you got to keep going to figure out how to get all these people.
Well, now he's got the opposite problem is because his show is popular, he's got everybody going to him saying, can I be on your show? And now he's got to figure out, you know, it sounds weird,
but
are you a good guest or not? Hey, right. Can we take a quick tangent?
Yeah.
'Cause I think it's cool.
Please.
And you said it. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if everybody knows this. Spill the beans on, I can't remember the website. It's IFFT, IFTTT.
Yeah. If this, then that. IFTTT, if this, then that. And it's a, you can cook some recipes. I love just to say that, mostly because I like food and I like Ryan Parker too, who makes really good food. So if this, then that, cook some recipes, but they're all web recipes. So you can say anytime someone follows me, send them a thank you note back, and it will automatically do that for you on, you know, on schedule. And it works with a bunch of different social networks. So you, including your email. So Gmail and Pinterest and LinkedIn and all that stuff. And so it can just kind of create this social bounce. And I haven't taken, it's been around a while. I mean, it's been around 3 or 4 years. I haven't really taken advantage of it very much. And I've got some interns in for the summer. We're talking about Gallup social strategy. And I thought, it's probably time. I'm meeting with them Monday to start talking about this. And I thought, it's probably time I dig back into if this and that, so I kind of have some idea of what they're doing.
It's such a cool tool, but it's so open. It's hard to say, here's what you do with it. It's kind of like giving somebody a box of crayons. You're like, here's your 64 colors. Paint whatever you want. You're like, well, what do you – well, you take the crayon, you put it on the paper, and you move it around. So, because I just found it about a month ago, I was doing some OneNote classes for the day gig, and there's a bunch of cool stuff. I can say if I favorite a tweet, you know, add it to a page in OneNote, in Microsoft OneNote, and all sorts of cool stuff. So it's hard to say here's what you'll do it for, but yeah.
Well, there's a lot of personal things to do with it, right? So anytime I tweet, drop it to Evernote or drop it to Google, you know, to Google Note, whatever. If you want to track everything you're doing, you know, you can't always get to your complete Twitter fire hose. So some people want to capture every tweet they do. But you can also, one of the things I'm going to do is, especially around the Gallup podcasting that we do, we want to recognize those podcasters that are writing or blogging about our product. And so we're going to start building a list of these podcasters, and then when they, I'm going to follow their RSS feeds, and when they post, I'm going to retweet something that includes their Twitter handle, so that they recognize, hey, it's like I'm paying attention, right? So you can do some stuff.
Like it's that. So funny you said that. I was just listening to Ben Kruger, who does the Authority Engine podcast, and if you haven't figured it out, I listen to every podcast about podcasting, and he had a great tip that. He said one of the things he does to promote his podcast is if he looks at, first of all, he knows, and that was going to be one of my questions for you, is how do you find those people? But he looks at, he must have a list of people. In his case, he does. He's now branding himself as the podcast marketing guy. And so he must know like the top marketing bloggers. And when he does a show and he thinks it fits that person's audience, which number one means he's done his homework and he knows what that guy's audience is, he'll say, hey, just want to let you know, we talked about this on my last episode. And if you're interested, feel free to share it. And if you don't, that's okay. And he said, because one of the things people want to do is, you know, you're always looking for content for your blog. But also, if that content actually is helpful, then that expert, the blogging expert guy is or girl is going to share that with their audience, and that's going to make them look good. So kudos for them. Yeah. And then kudos for you, because a potentially new audience is being found. So I heard that. I was like, that's cool. My question was going to be, I'll have to figure out, like, what would you type into a Google search to go, do I just go top 100, you know, business blogs to say here, you know, if you want to.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, I've already started gathering a Facebook group around this. So I'm just going to mine through that. I've got an idea who I want to start with on some of these blogs. So, for example, you know, the other thought is I could not only could I tweet once they post it, not only could I retweet it on behalf of me automatically, I could also send that to a OneNote or an Evernote or something, so that I start building a list of what these people are doing. So before I go to the show, or if I'm going to look something up, I could go to a list that's already built for me of everybody who's been tweeting or who's been blogging about the interest, my interest, right? So that's one thing you can do. Again, all that automatic stuff kind of helps. So we're going to kind of start building a list, and then I will start, and I think the goal would not to be sit down in one shot and do it, but build a list of 10, start working those 10. And then as I see other bloggers doing that, contact them and say, hey, I really like to add you to this plan that we're putting together. Here's what we're going to do. Would you please do this so that when you post, it makes it easier for us to promote you. And so create this kind of relationship where they know what I'm doing. This is not going to be a secret. I'm going to tell them.
Right.
I'm going to be retweeting you in this. But here's how that'll help you, because you're going to see my 1,200 followers. But here's what I'd like from you in that post, if you can at all do that. It's not required, but it'd be great if you would link to whatever, right? So you build this symbiotic relationship.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes back to that heart of, you know, in the end, number one, what you just said there isn't kind of a, there wasn't a whole, I mean, you're setting up automation, but to do that, you have to contact someone.
Yeah, right? You want to build a relationship. It's still about relationships, yeah, right?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, it just can't be all automatic. You've got to create some relationships.
Yeah, there is no giant golden switch that gives you 10,000 listeners. Well, hey, just a reminder, the phone number again is 845-262-2401. It's 845-262-2401. And being that this is a live show, you can join us. If you just joined us, we're at, you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live or schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And would love to hear from you. And also, being that we're halfway through the show already, man, time flies.
It goes fast.
Don't forget that if you'd like to join the School of Podcasting, use the coupon code ASK20 and get $20 off your first month. So there you go.
Can I throw in a School of Podcasting reference here from last week's show?
Sure.
Okay, so you had talked about in 411. So if anybody's listening to the recorded version of this, you know, sometimes we say last week and you know, whoever's listening to this is six months later, right? So if you go back to School Podcasting 411 in your recent, that's the one we got on Monday here in real time. You talked about using or buying another domain to set up and install a test instance of WordPress. I think we talked a little bit about that on the show here last week.
Yeah, there's a couple ways to do that. You don't have to buy a domain.
And I got a suggestion for that as well, but keep going.
I mean, I go in, depending on who your hosting is, like if you use like the cheapest ever Bluehost, HostGator, I think you get one domain. I use usually the one right above that, and I'll go in and either add a subdomain. That's one way of doing it. You can add an add-on domain, or if you want, you can just throw it in a folder. Like I have one, it's schoolofpodcasting.com/test2. You know, I just said here, when you install WordPress, put it here in this folder. And I thought about that after I heard that. I'm like, you know, there are about 14 other ways we could have done that. But anything you want to throw in, by all means.
Yeah, let me throw this one. And I've hinted about it a couple times, but I get one of it because I'm a Microsoft MVP. I almost feel obligated to talk about this. But so Windows, or no, what they call now Microsoft Azure, would have an option for you, A-Z-U-R-E. If you haven't tried that yet, just go to azure.com. And that's their complete cloud web database hosting service that you can go get everything virtually, right? You don't have to own any equipment. You go buy and rent equipment or rent software by the hour, by the minute, by the second in some cases, and you can set up instances of Windows Server 2012, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I want to talk about. That gets super nerdy. What I do want to say is they've got a great setup on Azure with WordPress that's free. So if you go out and set up an account with them, so you'll use your Microsoft ID, whatever that is, whatever account you're using to access Windows 8. And if you don't have one, you can make one for free and log into Azure. They have a free trial. You don't need it. You can use it if you want, but you don't need it. They give you free 10 websites on Azure. And they've done this since day one, and it doesn't look like they're ever going to take them down. They're shared hosting, so it's like you would get at a Bluehost or at a GoDaddy, whatever. They're lowest, and in fact, it's the lowest tier. You'd pay $3 or $4 a month for that on those services. For Azure, you get 10 of those instances for free. And you can go out in three or four clicks. You can set up a WordPress instance, literally go in there, say, add new, go to the gallery, choose WordPress, take your hands off the keyboard, and it sets everything up for you. The next thing it does is give you a link that takes you to the WordPress page to set up your WordPress site. You know, all the information you need to put in, your name, the name of the site, all that other stuff. You go to customize it. And then, boom, it kicks you into the admin console, and you have a fully running WordPress website there. Now, it's going to have a name you pick, .azurewebsites.net, right? But you don't care. You're using this for a setup and a test instance. And so it gives you that kind of off-network ability to set up a WordPress site. You're not going to use it in production because you're using this for test purposes or to set up another site and then migrate it over. And so you don't care how fast it is. It's not lightning fast. It's not bad, to be honest with you. I use it. And then you can go out and you can use that to test. You can create 10 of these. I did this for a training session where I divided 10 people up into groups of five, and we created sites on the fly. And then they had WordPress sites that they could get access to, all completely free. If you do decide to convert that over, say you like it so much, you can convert it over. You can switch it over to a more, they have like four levels that you can move up to. You know, you can move up to kind of a shared that has domain ability. In other words, you can get your own domain and put that in there. You don't have to do a redirect. They'll host that for you. Or then you can start getting three levels of hardware. So you can get a small server, dedicated VPS. People pay big money for these virtual private server instances. And you can get them on Azure for, they start at like 10 bucks a month. So not a bad way to go if you want to look at your own hosting, if you want to do it that way. That's not talked about in any podcasting circles that I've come across. And it's just a great way. And I've been using it for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months. My own blog, theaverageguy.me, that's my own personal running blog, is hosted on Azure. You could go out and look at it. You're not going to see any different. I'm just telling you that it does work, and it works great for that kind of thing. So if you just want to try it out, they have a free trial. You get $150 for free on their services. You will not be able to spend $150 in a month. I mean, it's crazy. Amazon is driving all the prices down, a storage and a bandwidth.
Oh, isn't it crazy?
You can't spend $150. But to do this, $0. And you know, I'm a big fan of $0, Dave. I like $0. And everybody's always asking, how do you do free stuff? This is one way to do it. It's, and you know,
what's the website? Azure?
Azure.com. Azure.
Yeah.
I mean, did you get that?
I'm there. And I'm looking at, when I click on pricing, it then gives me like 8 billion.
Yeah. There's tons of different things that you can price out. Cause you can, I mean, it's like Amazon Web Services, where you can run a million different things. It's kind of the key is once you get logged in, once you create an account and you get logged in, you will go, and let me do that real quick here just so I can.
Because I'm actually showing the page. Cool.
There's the pricing page. And you'll see if you go to the websites section on the pricing page, you'll see you get 10. It'll say we give you 10 of these for free.
I think we're in the right spot.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm having trouble seeing what you're. Let me see if I can blow this up a little bit. So, yeah, if you're on audio only, sorry about that.
Yeah.
we're walking that through. This is very, very simple. There's a lot of information out there. And, you know, in this case, once you get let me show you, Dave. Let me flip over real quick and I'll turn on. I've got the actual management console up.
Okay.
So if you might want to join us live if you're on the YouTube side, if you're doing this, but this is my admin console let me spread this out a little bit here so you can see a little bit more of it. This is my admin console, and there's a lot of different options, and I don't want to scare you away. Many of these you would never use, but you can see here where it says websites. And so if I came down here, very top says websites. If I click new, I'll just show you how to set this up. Real super simple. Then I'd go to, at this point, websites, and I would go to the gallery. And it's, can you see the gallery there?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to scroll all the way to the bottom, and it's going to say WordPress.
Wow.
And say cool. Yeah. And then I'm going to pick my URL. So maybe say Jim's test. Hold on. Let's not do it that way. Let's go the average guy test. And I'm going to stick it on my existing. You get one free MySQL database with it. So you can, and they don't, you know, WordPress doesn't take up hardly any. I'm going to leave all the defaults that are in place. It's going to, in this case, it's going to put it in the East. I'm going to agree. I'm going to click OK. And guess what it's doing?
Wow.
It's deploying a WordPress instance right now.
That's cool.
What, about 3-4 clicks to get that done? And you'll see here, then here's the test instance. It's creating it right now. And you can see the mode. I'm in the free. Mm-hmm. I'm in the free mode for it. And when that comes up, it'll spin. I don't know. Take another 20 minutes or not 20 minutes, but 30 seconds probably before that becomes available. It's going to give me a URL. That's right. You can see. I'll just click on this URL. That's right there. This is my running blog. And so you can see it just took you to that. And we'll go back here and eventually in a few minutes as it's creating it. And again, it takes the complexity of having to set up the database and having to set up WordPress and those kinds of things. So that's an option for individuals. I'd love if you have any questions on that. Being an MVP for Microsoft, that's one of the things I'm supposed to help you with. So if you have any questions on that, jim@theaverageguy.tv. And I think it's one of the best kept secrets at Microsoft.
Yeah, I've heard you mention it. I had really no idea kind of what it was.
Yeah.
And
it's just hosting. I mean, think of it like
HostGator.
It's just like that. Those 10 websites. And then, you know, I run other things off of it. Not appropriate for this show from a standpoint of I run server software and some other things. You can create your own web app or your own mobile app on this thing that has mobile services available. So pretty powerful, maybe beyond the scope of what we're trying to do here.
Have you ever looked into having an app made?
You know, I have. I've thought a lot about it. I even tried to get a group of interns to do it at one point, and I just never got it done. I think it's a good idea. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I know the one day I searched for the School of Podcasting in iTunes, and for whatever reason, I didn't come up at the top. I was like number four of something. But what was weird is in the middle of iTunes was my app. And I'm like, well, if they couldn't find my show, the app came up top dog in the app section. I went, well, I could see where that was, depending on who your audience was. I just wonder because I've been looking into just because people keep asking me, what does it cost to have an app made? And I'm like, I just join Libsyn, let them build it for you. And I found one company, but it was like $35 a month once you paid for it. And I know there's like ones like Biz Apps, and it's, you know, most of them are thousands of dollars. And I'm like, really? I'm like, wow. So that'll be, we talked about, when services come in.
Go ahead.
Well, when services come in, prices go down. So I'm hoping as this industry, you know, kind of builds up, prices will come down. Not for a while.
Yeah, and you can check app.net, app.net, and I actually use that. You can create, it's basically a wrapper for your RSS feed. And so it allows you to create some things and people can subscribe to it. Not super intuitive in some spots. If you're real tech savvy, you can kind of create some links that people could get, you know, could register it on the phone. They would get the, you know, they would need to install app.net and then subscribe to you. And that could be your app, so to speak. So it's a way of doing it. It's a cheap way of doing it. It doesn't cost you anything to get that done. But yeah. I don't know, Dave, if I'm big enough where that matters. Most of the guys that, and a lot of podcasters who podcast about podcasting are probably in the same boat. Most of the people that listen to them are very savvy to begin with. And so you're like, why? Yeah, my audience is, you know, 25 to 55 guys that are tech-based. They know how to get stuff done, right? Nobody asked me how to consume the RSS feed or how do I get your, nobody ever asked me that. So,
well, hey,
you know, it's one of those things.
And the other question I have for you, have you ever had your volume in a Google Hangout for no apparent reason, just get loud?
Yes.
Because you're not doing a thing wrong today, but every now and then it's like somebody's just grabbing your volume knob and going, and I'm like, well, that's kind of weird.
I wonder if it's because I did. Okay. So I did change PCs this week. We talked about it in the show last week. Mm-hmm. I was on a Core i3-530 and I moved to a Core i7-4770 for the nerds who want to know what is that? What'd you get? And so I am on new hardware and it's possible that it's, I just didn't get all the settings right. So that's good feedback. I will see if I can, because Google does grab your, in fact, let me bring that up. So Google grabs your recording settings. If you're in Windows, you go down to the speaker menu and hit recording devices and then come over to the microphone. I wonder if you're hearing me. Hold on one second here. You're hearing me through this mic. Okay, that's good. And then if you go to the recording sessions and click on the microphone that you're wanting and open the properties of it, you go to the levels tab. If you leave that open during a Google Hangout, you can see Google monkeying around with that it captures that audio setting, that, you know, that level that's in there. And if you're too quiet, it'll boost you up. And if you're too loud, it'll move you down. It's always kind of moving around. Its goal was to make this work really, really well where people didn't have to worry about their sound.
Right. Which is hilarious. Because as you just said that, It boosted your volume. It's like, so people, yeah. It was like, so people don't have to worry about their sound.
It
was like,
yeah. So it went from 92 to 98. It just dropped back to 92 right now.
Yeah.
So it probably went back down to, so what happens is that I move away from the mic. As I move away like this, right, it tries to compensate for it. And I just saw it jump to 100. So I've got a little bit of work to do. This goes back to that test your stuff, right?
Yeah. What concept. Now, where are you seeing that at?
So it's in the microphone properties. So go down to the speaker, down if you're in Windows, bottom right-hand corner, go down to the speakers and right-click on that. And then go to, it'll say recording devices.
Right.
And once you get into recording devices, click on the levels tab.
I have a recording tab. I have sounds.
You got to double-click on the microphone that you're using.
Which in this case would be...
Double-click on the microphone.
Got it, and levels.
That's there. And then go to the levels tab, and you can see, it's moving mine around quite a bit, and I don't know why.
Somebody in the chat room, Brian, I think it was, I have 8 billion windows in front of the chat room, so that there is an automatic setting in Microsoft for this.
Yeah, I've tried turning that off. Google takes control of the microphone. It's a Google thing.
Yeah, it's Microsoft Windows doing an auto level, Brian Aldridge says.
Yeah, Brian, it's actually Google controlling that microphone. I've closed Google out and then done some tests, and it doesn't move at all when I'm outside of the Hangout. It's the Hangout moving things around. Yeah, at this point. So I have messed around with it. It's one of those kinds of things where I had a bunch of settings that I've shut off somewhere down the line, and now that I have a new PC, I just got to get all those settings back. That's maybe another tip for podcasters. If you ever change something, record it so you know you changed it. You know, we were talking at the very beginning of the show, to come full circle, you were talking about we were talking about changing the name of the show, right? And it's a good idea that if you submit your podcast to a site, that you actually record that you did that somewhere in a document, so you know where to go back to change it.
Yeah.
When you get to that point. So might be a good idea to keep a list of, it's still moving around. Keep a list.
Yeah. Bill says he lost us on YouTube. You're back.
Yeah. That's very possible.
Sometimes
YouTube gets a little hiccup.
On the beach. Got people listening on the beach. First live listen, for the love of pod.
Nice.
He's got album art already. That's pretty cool. Well, again, if you guys got questions, the number is, I gotta always get ready for the music, 845-262-2401. Again, 845-262-2401. Got no line.
No callers today.
Yeah, no call. Everybody's shy today.
I think it's a sleepy Saturday morning.
It could be. Well, here's the other thing we're going to run into. It's officially nice outside.
Yeah, and well, it's rainy here today in Omaha. But
I could see that in the process of people going, let's see, I could listen to Dave and Jim. The cool thing is you can listen online. You know, you could go, you could fire up Spreaker and listen there, and you can listen on Mixler, and askthepodcastcoach.com/live is that'll work on a phone.
I actually listened to the show back. You know, I practice what I preach, and I listen to our shows after we've done them just to kind of critique myself and what I said and what I did. And I just listened right on the website there on Spreaker. I went right to the website the other night and listened to it. I do subscribe to it on my phone. So you post this show on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that, whenever you feel like it, basically.
I shoot for Thursday, and it's usually I try to have it come out on Thursday. Usually what happens is I end up posting it late Thursday, which means it comes out on Friday.
So I go back on my phone. It's one of the things I listen to Friday. Fridays I'll be driving home and I'm like, you know, let me listen to the show just so I remember. That's how when I say, hey, remember last week we talked about, that's because I just listened to the show. That's me doing my homework, right? That's me going back and having some context to what we talked about last week.
Well, I've got a question. We can prime the pump here. Any podcast that you used to listen to that you don't anymore? Because I've had a couple that I just kind of went, actually, we have a caller. We'll hold that thought.
Yeah, good idea.
Ending in, let me make sure my phone is good to go. It is ending in 1770. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave and Jim. This is Rich from richgrimshaw.com. You guys are sounding good today, and you're right. It is a very lazy Saturday, and the weather's nice outside. And I'd like to know if I could talk about Twitter. I was watching Dave on Ray Ortega's show the other day. You were on with Ray and Andrew, and you mentioned that you were using Twitter with some success, and I'd like to ask you about that because I just don't get Twitter. I don't get it.
Well, it's what I'm starting to do more is I'm getting more, for whatever reason, people are asking me questions on Twitter. So it's starting to become more of a conversation. In some cases, I had an affiliate. It was kind of weird today. An affiliate for the School of Podcasting. I went to pay them, and the email bounced. Like PayPal said, you can't, like, this email is not associated with PayPal anymore. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And for whatever reason, the person didn't have a contact page on their website. So I had to, but as soon as I mentioned them on Twitter, they found it. So there are a couple tools I use for Twitter. Number one, I use Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, and that's how I get a ton of content for my show and to kind of keep me up to date with what's going on in news and things like that. And some of the stuff I'm like, ooh, I want to talk about this. Some of the stuff is like, ooh, this is good, but it doesn't really maybe fit my show. So what I'll do is I'll send that out to Twitter. I'm like, hey, this is a pretty cool idea. Just to keep you know, here's like, I just sent out one today about, it's a some conference in Australia that's a hilarious YouTube video talking about who needs an idea anymore when you've got tech. And it's hilarious. They use every 8 billion cliches about technology. And I just found it funny. So it's my way of saying, hey, you know, it's like if I was talking to you, I would just say, have you seen this video? So there's that kind of stuff on it. But I use I use Feedly to find stuff. And then I use Buffer app. In some cases, because I'll find a bunch. Sometimes you find the gold mine. And I don't know about you. I hate the guy that sends 8 tweets in about 2 minutes. So I use Buffer app to space out my tweets. And to figure out when to space out my tweets, I used a tool that you can pay for a premium version. But I used, it's called Tweriod. I believe it's just T-W-E-R-I-O-D, something of that nature. And what you can do is you put in your Twitter account. Now, in my case, it's at Learn to Podcast. And it says, based on your tweets, most people read your tweets from blank to blank. Well, I'm a night owl. I'm up till midnight almost every night. But apparently my audience is not, probably because they have little kids or something like that. Who knows? But so I don't really tweet after 9 o'clock because from what I've seen, nobody's reading them. And likewise, nobody reads them till about 9 or 10. So I just said, look, I want to send out maximum 4 tweets a day from 9 to about 7 o'clock. And it just spaces them out that way. So I find them via Feedly. I space them out via Buffer after I figured out what the schedule was via Tweriod. And I do my best not to make it about me. Now, on occasion, like today, this morning, I had it scheduled. And that's the other tool I use. If I'm doing live tweets, meaning they're not scheduled out, I'll use Hootsuite because it's web-based. It's on my phone and I can get it anywhere. And so I scheduled one for 10:30 that said, hey, Ask the Podcast Coach is going on now. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Because otherwise, if you've seen the beginning of the show, I got a lot going on. So I'll let that one do it itself. And so I try to find things that if it excites me again, so I'm my own filter, I will, you know, send it out to people like, hey, here's a really cool thing. Did you know that such and such did this? Boom. Or here's some cool stats about podcasting or whatever it is that, again, interests me. And some of that may make it on the show. Sometimes I'll ask a question and I'll say, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, doing, what was the last podcast you unsubscribed from? Let me know here. Maybe I'll set up a blog post for people to leave comments, or I'll set up a poll daddy or things like that. But it's a way to interact with your audience. And I'm just starting to see more people at Learn to Podcast. The video feed, just to interrupt myself, Brian, is that you can go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And that is that. My YouTube page is schoolofpodcasting.com/DaveTube. But right now, live, go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. So, but with Twitter, I try to interact with people, and more people are starting to just at Learn to Podcast me, and I'll see their tweet. Assuming again that it is, most people don't do that just for the, I guess there is Twitter spam. People could at me all the time and it's, you know, but usually it's, hey, what do you think about this? What's this and that? And, so that's how I use it. Jim, what do you do with Twitter? Anything? Are you a big Twitter person?
Yeah. I think it's just a communication device. It's like email, but that's not email. So, you know, you get the ability to communicate with people, right? So you have the stream, right? Your question is really, what do I do with it, right? How do I take advantage of it? You don't get that.
Right? I understand pushing stuff out in the Twitter stream. I got that. But as far as getting responses and having a conversation, it's so damn asynchronous. How do you do that? I mean, I don't have it sent to my phone where I'm interrupted every couple of minutes by some tweet coming in, and I've tried sitting down and looking at it, and it just confuses my little lizard brain, so I don't get
it. Well, like Dave mentioned, Feedly, I use TweetDeck, which is another web app that you can use, and I set up various search criteria to follow who I want to, the conversations I want to follow. I have one. You know, I have a mentions column that anytime someone mentions me, it shows up there. I have my own user column, so I see what were the last things I tweeted. Then I have a couple people like Dave McCabe over at thehomeservershow.com that I follow, that have their own columns. Anytime they say something, I want to know what they're saying. And then from a conversation standpoint, it's just as far as it's just like email when and I use the mentions section. Anytime someone sends me a note, I'll send it back to them via Twitter, that just shows up in that mentions column. And so I can have a conversation with them. And a lot of folks, then it becomes like email, right? And you can have that conversation that goes back and forth where you answer questions or whatever. And some people find that very helpful. So it is messy, right? Let's just say it. It's a messy, messy platform. So no surprise, it's hard to manage. You got to get tools around it to help you manage it. And I think Dave and I have mentioned a couple that that might help. Definitely, tip is narrowing things down, right? Because if you try and follow the whole feed, you'll just get killed.
Yeah. I'm actually sharing my screen. So again, for anybody listening on audio, but I can see where I've been mentioned. So here's where Jim has sent one, and here's somebody. I had to stop using the 2100 because of that. The noise showed up in my recording. So somebody had a problem with the 2100 here. Ray Ortega from podcasterstudio.com. has got me involved in a conversation. Here, I just good old feedback. I really enjoyed this episode, Dave. The main content was right on the money. They were talking about, is your podcast on target? So I get feedback that way. And, if I wanted to reply back to this person, I just click on that. It brings it up and I send them a tweet. And again, this is one of those cases where I always try to reply, even if it's just to say, hey, thanks for listening. And then I can see, here's my logical weight loss Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So are you looking at the feeds a couple of times a day, or you keep it open on a screen all day long?
I can't keep it all day long because I'm doing this lovely thing called the day job that gets in my way.
I hate that stuff.
Hate it, doggone it. But yeah, I check on my phone. I mean, for me, I if I can, I'll check in the morning, kind of like email for the day job, right? I always check first thing in the morning. I always check my email, and I check I have a special section for School of Podcasting members if any questions have come in there. Twitter is, low on the totem pole, depending on how crazy the morning's going. But I will check, and that's why I like Hootsuite. I used to use TweetDeck. I like Hootsuite because it's web-based. So I can check my Twitter from anywhere that I have a platform. And I'll do that at noon, see what's going on. And worst case scenario, if I don't check it at noon, I always check it at night. So sometime during the day, I will be hitting up Twitter to see what's going on. And again, you'll see some things that I don't always, the thing that gets missed is my feed. As I look at this now, in fact, I look at my feed, but I have so much going through my feed. I'm not sure how many people I'm following, a lot, but if you didn't tweet something when I just logged in, I'll be honest, I very rarely, I might scroll down and see who it is. Like here I see Miss Eileen reading the unofficial book of on Hootsuite. Wow, that's hilarious. Hootsuite is like learning to ride a bike. You know what? And I might take that now and say, hold on, favorite that, because that's, I'm definitely going to look at that later. That's so hilarious that came up and we're talking about Hootsuite. You can find stuff here. I know on Twitter you can, another thing you can do is search for your topic. See what if anybody's talking about your topic. You can use it as a search engine. And then in some cases, you can use it to find potential audience members. So those people that are talking about your topic, follow them. And it goes back to like Jim was talking about earlier. Everything comes back to that relationship.
Hey, and let me bring in a real interesting, let's just do this in real time. Dave, I think HostGator is down.
Nice.
You have, if we go to askthepodcastcoach.com or if you go to schoolpodcasting.com, you get the 500 internal server error, which I think it means HostGator is down. So let's say I wanted to know that for sure. I'm like, oh, I'm suspecting HostGator is down, and I want to use Twitter to be able to discover that. So I'm going to go out to tweet deck. You could do it in any of them. And I'm going to type in HostGator as a search. And this is where I'm going to mine and see if there's other people complaining about HostGator at the moment. And it doesn't look like they are right now. That doesn't mean it's not happening yet. It just doesn't mean it's trending yet. And so if that's the case, Dave could have broke his own stuff too. That's very possible.
Yeah, but I doubt that I broke both my sites.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So that's also a great way to, you can even go out to the HostGator site, because a lot of times people are, they are tweeting if they go down, right? Yeah. That they have it. So it's a little more interactive than just following it. You there are some things you can mine out of it. We didn't even talk about hashtags, right? When we do the podcast for Gallup, I do a hashtag CSF for Clifton Strengths Finder chat, CSF chat hashtag. And then I watch that during the program. And for folks who can't, sometimes Chatwing is blocked. Sometimes they can't watch it, whatever. We create a live tweeting scenario where they can do hashtag CSF chat. I monitor that. And anyone else who wants to follow the chat can as well. And then you can kind of have a chat room on Twitter by using that hashtag. So that's not a bad way to kind of take advantage of the hashtag infrastructure on Twitter to create a chat room. Does that make sense?
And I'm not sure how new. Yeah, I'm not sure how new you are to Twitter, because I had somebody ask me this last week, and I'm like, wow, if you're brand new to it, a hashtag is the pound sign. That's something I didn't realize. I just threw that.
Yeah, out. No.
So
I've been trying to fit it into a daily routine for like 2 years, and I just, every time I touch it, I put it away because it just doesn't light me up. So
yeah,
I thought Masterminds out there were using it, I thought I'd just tap into that and see what you were doing. And this has been helpful, so I appreciate it. Appreciate you talking about it.
Good.
Yeah, and for the record, I've had it for years. It really wasn't until really this year. I mean, I kind of always popped in and out, but this is... It's kind of like everything else we say. If you want to get something out of it, you got to put something into it. So, if I'm on a platform, if I'm on SoundCloud or if I'm on Spreaker or Mixer or whatever, I gotta go there and put myself into that if I'm going to get anything out of it. And the problem is, the last time I checked, there's still only 24 hours in a day. And so, it's just a matter of, I kept finding more and more people say, I do everything on Twitter. I do everything on Twitter. And so I was like, well, I got to give this another shot. So that's
right. There's obviously something there, and I'm missing it. So that's why I asked the question. And again, thank you. This has been, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Hopefully we gave you some good tools to take a look at and get rolling on it if you can.
And thanks for calling. Where can we find your stuff at? Oh, he left plug on it.
That's all right.
But
he did mention it up front.
Yeah, it is about that time. And I want to thank everybody for the chat room, as always. And Jim, always a pleasure hanging out with you.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna go play with my website now and see what's going on. First thing I'll do is here's what I'm gonna check. First thing I'm gonna check is my billing, because I recently changed a credit card, and I'm gonna guess that's might be the awesome. I already have a live chat going on with HostGator as we speak. Because on occasion they're not they used to be really, really fast. And, let me see here. Just 15 minutes. I'm gonna have to wait for a chat. They used to be like 4 minutes. So, but what are you going to do?
Shoot. Well, at least it happened at the end of the show.
That's it. Exactly. So we are, when the site's up, it's at askthepodcastcoach.com/live or schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And don't forget, use the coupon code ASK20 and get $20 off your first month at the School of Podcasting. Jim, where can people find you?
TheAverageGuy.tv.
Awesome. And guys, thanks so much for tuning in. And this is the part where it's almost as fun as starting the show is ending the show, because all those places that I had to start, I now have to go around like here. First of all, before I forget, I've got to drag the screen over.
Somebody said it just came back. Brian said it just came back up.
There you go. The gods have smiled on me. Lovely. And that's the joy of, in some cases, hosting, that kind of thing. So shared hosting. Sometimes it has a little hiccup. So Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.
I was making radio shows for fun. If everybody does it, at least everybody I know. Shut up!